right, we'll have a word of prayer, then we'll look at the memory verse, then after that we will recite it. Father, we thank you for this morning once again. Thank you that we can be safely in your house. We know, Lord, that there are many things around the world that are happening which stop Christians in China from going to church. We stop different people in different countries of the world to go to church simply because, Lord, it will cost them their lives. We pray, Father, that you give us gratefulness that we can come week after week without fear or persecution in order to learn your word. So speak in a special way as we go through the Sunday Bible Hour with regards to the structure of our families. We ask you, Lord, to teach us truth that will change our focus, change our lives, so that we can honor you in our families, but especially with ourselves, Lord. We know families are important. I would thank you, Lord, that you've shown us that to put you first in our families is even more important. We'll thank you, Lord, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's go ahead. I just want to review quickly, all right, because it's been 2 weeks. Last week, Pastor Charlie had that. Let's just go ahead. All right, I show you this about the strong pillars, about the fact that if we want to truly change our families, we need to change our mind. All right, we really need biblical beliefs to anchor our family. Biblical beliefs to anchor our family. All right, we need these anchors. Firstly, we talk about the fact that God is the head. Okay, God is the head of our family, and God is the head means he's the head. Every decision we make has to go through him. We cannot make our decisions by ourselves. We need to always go to him, okay? So we went through the lesson. I'll just quickly go through. And then we look at God's word is the final authority. So God says to be faithful in church. We will be faithful in church, nothing else. We cannot have any reasons or excuses not to be faithful in church, because the Bible says not forsaking the assembling ourselves together. That's a command, right? So if God's word is a final authority, we need to fit all our lives to surround ourselves in the word, all right? Because otherwise we are disobedient, okay? So God's instruction to man, the reason why Adam and Eve or whole mankind fell into sin is because Adam and Eve didn't listen to God. And that is a very important principle we have to remember, okay? And there are consequences. And then the third anchor, God's plan is always the best. You know, sometimes we think that we need to manage our lives. But if God tells us something to do outside our plan, we say no. You know why God gave us his word is to tell us that his plan is always the best. All right? So all we need is simple obedience to the purpose of God. If our lives is not in sync with the purpose of God, then it's just not the best life we're living. Okay? Simple obedience to God's purpose, and then trusting God for his timing and provision. We talked about it the last time. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 to 22, the Bible talks about the fact that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. A very important principle is that woman is taken out of man. Okay? Sometimes, after we talk a little bit about people wanting to rush into relationships, okay, after we talk a little bit about that, but we need to trust God for his timing. We made very clear, and fathers as well, when you're looking at spouses for your sons or your daughters, if you're looking for a spouse for your daughter, you need to look at the man that is supposedly liked. See, does the man have a direction for his life? If there is no direction, don't give your daughter to that man, because you're wasting your time. All right, I see that a lot in men. There is men who follow ladies more than ladies following men. Okay, it's very rampant in Chinese culture. I've seen a lot of Christian men who have no direction in their lives, and they get married, and basically they are being led by their so-called wives. Okay, and in many cultures as well. Just make a mention. One of the things is, one of the biggest money earner for the Philippines are the women. You know, many years ago when the domestic maids of Philippines went over, and the biggest money earner for the Philippines were the women. And that's a sad thing. The men ought to be leading. Thank God for people like Duterte, who's a strong man that's able to make things happen. But this is something we must be very, very aware of. Okay, so for the men, the lady must not be someone who always want to spend money and not want to save, not want to work. So you have to also, as if you want to give your son to a lady, yeah, she may be a Christian, but if she's a lazy Christian, she doesn't read the Bible, she doesn't pray, she doesn't faithfully serve God, then you need to, just because she's a Christian, doesn't mean she will not pull your son down as well. So this is something that we'll talk about as we go along, okay? But when we wait for God's timing, and we're willing to trust God for provisions, then whatever God gives to us is the best, okay? For those who haven't got married yet, it's important for you to recognize that as for men, you need to be hard workers. You need to have a direction in your life. Because if you do not have now, and you get involved in a relationship, you are going to lead the good Christian girl astray, okay? And it is something you have to be careful about. Right? And that is sin. Don't spoil someone's Christian life, get involved in a relationship when you don't even know where you're going with God. So that is something that we need to take personal responsibility. Remember, it's someone else's daughter for men, okay? Someone else's daughter, so we have to be very careful. And fathers, we need to watch out for that because we don't want to spoil the Christian life of our daughter. On the other hand, for daughters, you need to teach them to work from young, okay? You look at Ruth, look at the Proverbs 31 women. She works hard. Spiritually, she is strong. She's able to help the family, okay? And so you don't want your daughters to live by her flesh and emotions, and she doesn't let the word of God control her. No matter how godly a man is, there will be conflict, all right? So when both are walking with God, and both wait for God's timing. God's timing is always the best. And then our spouse can be God-given. All right? Any questions? You see, what's going to happen is some of us may have gotten married when we were out of the will of God. When we're not, or maybe we're not Christians, we got married. Now that both of us are Christians, so how, Pastor? How? Well then, get back to God's plan. Confess your sins before. Get back to God's plan. All right? And understand, if you are married, then your husband and your wife is God-given. Because God, out of our mistakes, can still give us the best plan. Amen? That's why He is God. Okay? So remember, our spouse is God-given. And I highlighted this point for husbands and men. To remember, your wife is God-given. Okay? Sorry, a woman was not made of the dust. God actually made a woman out of men. I believe to show us the principle that we need to love our wives, okay? Love our wives, all right? Of course, the Bible also say in the book of 1 Timothy, I believe, that wives are supposed to love their husbands, okay? All right, and for both, when you're looking out, they're not married, you have to look out for someone who loves God more than you. In other words, that person would, if there is a spiritual meeting and meet you for dinner, the man will say, we need to go for the spiritual meeting. No matter what it is, okay? Because it will reflect that the man will always put God first before his marriage, okay? Because God is always first in his heart. Wherever God is, he wants to be there. And there's a very strong principle that you can detect. I have one friend, they were not married, this was 30 years ago. Both of them, I mean, they were not like couple, they just kind of, both of them were invited to a party that's in Singapore, just a friend's birthday party, and this lady and this man, they just went together as friends, they just met and then went. And so, when they went to the house, this lady wasn't sure, and he just asked the friend, said, should we take out our shoes? You know what the man said? Yes, we should, because this is not our house, let's take out our shoes. And they're not boyfriend, girlfriend. But the man had enough conviction to say, this is not our house. Let's take out our shoes to respect that person. For fathers, we need to look for men who, when they are young and courting our daughters, have convictions. If they don't have convictions in their life, don't throw your daughter's life away. Don't throw your son's life away. We must have growing with convictions. That's why it's so important from young to build them up in convictions. Okay? All right? Okay, so we'll move on to the next principle, the structure of the family that stands. We're going to be looking at, let's look at Genesis chapter 2. Any questions? Any questions? Genesis chapter 2. chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Just two more points, and now hopefully we will wrap up and I'll highlight some very important thing. At least as a church, we need to stand for strongly. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, 24. And Adam said, "It is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now, the woman was not made of the dust, but from the rib of Adam, and we highlight that. And when Adam awake, the Bible says, in verse 20, and when Adam awake, he says, "Now this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Okay. Whenever a man gets married, he needs to recognize that the spouse is God given, and that person is supposed to be one with you. Okay? One with you. And we're going to have a little project afterwards to discuss certain things. Okay? And the Bible says, "For this reason, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother." Okay? The principle is this. Leaving father and mother, before you were married, you depended on your parents for financial support, for emotional support, for social support. Anything that happens in your life, you always go back to your family. Okay? But after you're married, God says you have to leave the emotional support, the social support, the financial support, and all kinds of spiritual support. Because for God, God is wanting to set up a new entity, a new unit. Okay? Because that's what the Bible says. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall be one flesh." So God wants to set up a new family where Christ is the head. Okay? So if you look at it financially, practically, for those who have daughters, if that man that you're giving your daughter away don't work and don't have anything stable, don't have any plan in life, don't have any direction for his life, he kind of just hit and miss. I give you an example that was many years ago in Singapore, in a church that we were from, me and my wife. There was a Filipino lady who actually married a Singapore man. Okay? And this Filipino lady just loved the Lord. She loves the Lord. She comes to church. She brings her three children to church. But the man doesn't come to church. And when I just visited and later became a member, I found out that this man couldn't hold down his work. Every 3 months, he would change his work. But you know what? The Filipino lady loved her husband, and of course, he loved the church. And many times she would come. She would try to work part time to support the family. And there was one time she actually came to the church and asked whether the church can loan the money because they wanted to get a house. We found out later that the husband asked her to get a loan from the church. And of course, churches are not financial institutions. Okay? And I'm thankful there are certain godly men there. I was just kind of like 20 over, but the men say, "No, I don't think we should do that because, number one, we're not a financial institution. Number two, why is the husband not supporting the family?" And we found out later that the Singaporean husband cannot hold down a job. And then because of that, the husband didn't allow that lady to come to church because this church don't support us. You know, it's a sad thing that this lady still loves the Lord. As far as I know, all three of them and the lady had to leave, and they managed to attend another church, which is not a Baptist church, but they are still going on for the Lord. But the husband has still not been working this probably, 30 years ago. I remember that because, you know, if a man doesn't work, how is he going to support the family? If a man doesn't have any direction in life, we are actually throwing our daughter's life away. Because at the end of the day, the daughter will feel insecure, then she will have to make decisions when she's supposed to be led by the man. So financially, one of the principles in the Bible for the Jewish families is that the man must be able to support the family. In fact, do you know in the Jewish culture, the mom and the dads from both families will come, and then the dad of the man may ask for the hand in marriage of the lady from the other father, and after they agree, this son will go off. You know what he goes off to do? He'll go and make sure he get a job and be able to build a house. That's what Jesus said in John 14. I go to build a mansion for you. that is actually pictured after the Jewish culture. All right? But of course, for us, we will be everlastingly with the Lord. But that is actually an important thing. If I'm not saying that he has to really have a house in Singapore, it's very expensive, but he shows and demonstrates that he can support your daughter. Just like as a dad, you support your daughter. He must have a direction in life. Joshua, you're looking around. So, you must be able to support your daughter. You don't want to give your daughter to someone who has no direction in life. One of the first questions, you say, number one, for fathers or mothers, do you love the Lord? And you know what? People can say, oh, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone can say that. You need to look at their lives. You need to look at how they live. You need to look at whether they have direction in life. Ask hard questions. I don't care. If anyone wants to go after Esther Joy or Joanne, I'm going to ask very hard questions. If he's not a Christian, you can forget it, number one. Number two, if you're a Christian who are faithful to God and love God, you can forget it, okay? Because I'm not going to give my daughter's life away to someone who claimed to love God, but doesn't show it by their life. They have no convictions. They have no spiritual or moral backbone. Because in the world that we live in today, we need men with conviction and women with conviction, okay? So coming back to this, so therefore, a man shall leave his father. So financial security. The next thing is emotional security. A man, you cannot be led by your emotions, what you feel. There's a very, very important thing. God made us to be clear-headed. Well, of course, God balanced us in our, sometimes we forget that actually our wives are emotional creatures. We need to, but you know what? There are some times that God may call us to make decisions. They had to say, I know you feel like that, but you know, if God says this, we need to follow him first. Okay? We need to be very clear about how we follow the Lord. For men, we need to be very clear. God made us to lead the house. And sometimes leading the house means that. I'll give you an example. You know, there are many spiritual men who, because of the insecurity of the wife, feel that, I know I need to take care of my wife, which is an important thing, but to the point that if the wife says, I'm not going to do this because I really feel I can't do that, how are we going to help our wife to the point that she will follow the Lord? But okay, use financial security. Okay, if, as a man, you are trying to follow the Lord and serve God, be faithful, and the wife said, no, I'm financially insecure. I need more. Why are you not supporting? But if you find that you are doing your best, everything is provided for, and your wife is not walking with God, what kind of decision as a husband you're going to make? Are you going to be faithful to the Lord in his word or pander to your wife's insecurities? It could be that the wife may not be walking with God, and you have to identify that as a spiritual problem. And you may have to fast and pray for God to change her, but in the meantime, God will change you so that he can help her to move. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's think I'm just coming up with this. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but since we're talking about this thing, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. For those who are not married, take it seriously, okay, and ask God to help you search. By Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, let me read. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How did Jesus love the church? How did Jesus love the church? The Bible says, unconditionally love your wives, even as Christ loved. But how did Jesus love the church? Jesus loved the church by providing for it. Yes? Everything that the church needed, we provide for it. That teaches us as a husband, we provide for the needs of our wives. Okay? How else did Jesus love the church? He died for it. That's what the Bible said, and gave himself for it. As a husband, we need to be willing to sacrifice our life. Well, let's not talk about life. Let's talk about sacrifice our personal time for our wives. Sacrifice our personal opinions so that we can help our wives grow. The reason why Jesus gave his life for the church, because there was a reason. What's the reason? We can't save ourselves. Jesus had to give up that life. And so for us, we have to look at what our wife absolutely needs and sacrifice ourselves for that. And God is changing my heart about what my wife needs. But we need to be willing to give up everything, including your career, to save your wife. That is what it means. Jesus gave up everything in heaven, all the comforts of life, for one thing, to save us. Your career is not as important as the spiritual life of your wife in a marriage situation. Okay? So we have to be very clear on that. That's why before, in one of the counseling sessions, before you go into marriage, you have to be very clear. Wife, you are willing to bear with this. If you're in there, that's a different thing, okay? So how else did Jesus love the church? Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus scolded the church, rebuked the church when the church wasn't walking with God. To be gracious when your wife is not walking with God, husbands, is not love. It's living in the flesh. Because when you know someone is going down a wrong track and refuse to turn, and you allow that person to go down that track, that's not love. And I've thought about this for many years, actually. You know what that is? We are more concerned for ourselves that we keep the family. It's okay to disobey God. And we will not, we are not willing to risk our life with our wives, but we're willing to give up our relationship with God in obedience to Him. Jesus' love, you know what? As many as I love, I rebuke. That's agape. Faithful are the words of a friend. If you really love your wife, I'm not saying scold her and give it to her. I'm saying that if you really have to go down and say, hey, my wife's not walking with God, she's not being faithful to the little things God asks her, she's not reading her Bible, she's not praying, she's not faithful to church, and we allow that to keep on happening, we don't love our wives. We really don't love our wives. Or we do love. God is not someone who will allow his children to go far without chastising. Why? Because he loves them. Okay? Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. A passage for us to understand. Ephesians 7, 29. Now we're talking about how Jesus loved the church. Ephesians chapter 7. Chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Sorry. No, Ephesians. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Verse 11. Now this is a principle that Solomon gives, okay? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them evil. Now, Solomon was giving a principle that when there is wrong, you need to deal with that speedily. Okay, so that's why if a brother falls in sin, we need to speedily, with prayer, go to that brother-in-law and say, hey, you can't, I cannot do that, it's wrong, man. I say not scolding that person, but you know, in love, admonishing him, look. But if it's not executed and it's allowed to go on, then the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The person will become stronger and stronger in his wanting to do evil. Now, if a person is not a Christian, if not a Christian, and you rebuke that person, you know what you get? You get blocked to yourself. In other words, this person doesn't care about God. And therefore, the more you scold him, the more you say, yeah, you start to curse and swear. Because I don't care about God. You're telling me something that I don't care about. Okay? But if a wife is a Christian or if a husband is a Christian, how should they respond with the Spirit of God? If they're going down a wrong track, okay? And as fathers, okay, husbands, we need to be leading our wives right. How would our wife respond to spiritual rebuke if she has the Spirit of God? In the flesh, he may get angry at you initially. But what will happen eventually if the person actually has the Spirit of God within them? How will they respond? I'm just making it very clear. The husband knows he's right, he's praying, but he has to rebuke the wife because maybe something that she's been doing and she's not being faithful. Yeah, she gets angry. But if she has the Spirit of God, how would a spiritual woman who loves Jesus respond to spiritual rebuke? I think we know the answer. She will turn back to God. Agree? And this is something which sometimes as husbands, we find it hard. Why? Because we're selfish. We don't want to break our relationship with our wife, but we're willing to break it with God in disobedience. Because the husband, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says Jesus loved his church and gave himself for it. And that's the thing. But when you look at other passages of scripture, it shows that Jesus rebuked the church because they lost their first love. Because they allow false teachers into the church, they were becoming lukewarm. And Jesus says, unless you repent, I have got to deal with you. Now, that is the context of Jesus dealing with the church, okay? God has never asked us to divorce our wife. It is a sin. But the principle that Jesus gives to us is that just because we love our wives doesn't mean we don't rebuke her when she do wrong, especially against God. Otherwise, men, we become selfish in our relationship because we want to preserve the unity of our family at the expense of truth. I see that a lot in Australia, in Philippines. I was speaking to a pastor, and that's what's happening in his own family. Okay, we'll talk about that a bit later, but it's important for us. How did Jesus love the church? We need to imitate that. You know, the hardest thing is to rebuke our wives. But that's the most loving thing. If the wife is led by the Spirit of God, she will repent. If she doesn't, then you need to seriously pray, okay? And so for men, when we're looking for ladies, you're not married, you're looking for ladies and you're praying about that, you know, you need to pray for submissive wives. Wives who are willing to listen. Of course, not listen blindly, but she knows the principle before God is submission. If submission is not strong, there was one, if submission is not strong in the lady, it will reflect their relationship with God. And one of the things that was taught in one of the books I was reading is submission is a very clear evidence of your salvation. A very clear, because if you are not willing to submit to God, you won't submit to your husband, you won't submit to authority, you won't submit, you just won't submit. It's a clear evidence of. So this is something that I hope to be able to build up our basket of evidences from Scripture so that we can be clear. Okay, how did Jesus love the church? He loved it. He was willing to give himself for it. He was willing to rebuke the church when they go wrong. And so, you know, a very interesting evidence is, remember Paul rebuked the church at Corinth for the fornication happening? You know, the encouraging in 2 Corinthians, they responded. They repented. They had tears in their eyes. I'm wrong. And they really did everything they could to get right. You know, the more I become a pastor, I realize that repentance is such an important part, especially if Christians are not willing to accept rebuke, or not willing to accept the fact that they are wrong scripturally, either they are very far away from God or they're not saved. Because a genuine Christian, when rebuked by the authorities that love them, they will come back. They will come back. All right? So, and this is the point that I want to actually make. Okay? The woman is not the dice or rib of Adam, and I was talking about how Adam actually loved the wives. The way we love our wives is to love our wives God's way. The moment we love it our way, it's actually love for self. Only God can give us that kind of love. Yes. For the longest time, the husband always think my wife is challenging me. Whenever you should have done this, you should do it this way, you should do it this way. And the Lord has broke my heart and said that actually, the wife is being insecure. And there's one thing that there was a brother was sharing with something, and this brother was sharing how the wife always comes in when the father-in-law would say something and go against the husband's plan. Then the wife will open up the mouth to tell the father-in-law, don't do this, don't do this. Now it becomes a little bit more heated, And then after that, the husband would then stop the wife, and the wife gets angry and walks off. And I was asking her, do you know why your wife did that? Because the wife was defending the man she loved. You know what I'm saying? That she, when she opened her mouth to ask the father-in-law, hey, you have to understand, you know, and all that, it was something that the husband did something wonderful for the family, his own family. He bought something very expensive, medication and all that. And the father like, yeah, don't spend so much money, lah. Yeah, we'll waste the money. Then the wife got angry. He said, hey, mom or dad, why this person actually, my husband went all the way, bought so much, carried back to you, and then you ask him, don't say my word. Of course, she was, and then as she was saying that, the husband said, never mind, lah. And the wife got angry at the husband. And I look at him and say, you know why your wife got angry? Because she was defending the man she loved. And the man she loved did not see it. So, to be clear, I know what you mean, you know. I mean, this, you really need a lot of years of experience to understand that. So when your wife actually say that, then you could have said, okay, I've learned to, in these kind of things, like driving and all that, wife many times are insecure and therefore they will tell you, when it comes to spiritual things, we need to take charge. We need to, the wives can actually suggest, or maybe the wife, definitely the wife can see things we can't see. But ultimately you still drive, right? At the end, and then after that, and it does require humility to say, yeah, I think you're right, I should be driving this way. The humility actually solves it. It's not a major problem, or I don't think it's a crisis in your family. I know you, brother. So it's just sometimes the wife may be insecure about certain things. So he highlights, and yes, sisters, yes. You just want to highlight, not to take away the authority, but can you please drive properly? I'm a bit scared. And that's why he asks, and now that she knows how to drive, maybe the next time you say, okay, but why don't you drive, you know? In that sense, but not in a bad way, okay? You need to be careful. So does that make sense? Okay, so I don't believe it's an issue of fighting. We don't see everything in the area of fighting. If fighting, then we will always have that. And Satan wants us to think like that. He wants us to think like that, so that we will have the conflict. And I've learned that sometimes when our wife or our husband bring up something, it's just bring up something, and then we just resolve it. Okay, so there are two questions, right? Two, right? The first one, for the daughters. Okay, the daughter one. Okay, for the daughter one, I believe the first thing you need to ask, you need to spiritually assess prayerfully how spiritually minded this man is. What do I mean? If a person is interesting what men will do or ladies will do to prove themselves. To prove themselves. That they are spiritual. Okay? In other words, before they met your daughter or your son, they were kind of just wandering around in life. But suddenly, they meet your husband. Suddenly, they're faithful in church. Suddenly, they are doing all they can to be on fire. I know I was one of them. You know? But I was still living for God. But it's like, this person, and she's a missionary today. But the Lord didn't want us together because I was doing it for myself. You can gauge on, oh, how? Just ask simple question about spiritual life. Where were you saved? Or, oh, okay, what are we doing in church? I just come to church, just follow my parents. When you say question, when you see how they answer, you more or less know their Christian life. If they are able to give you a rundown, well, the Lord has been. I mean, if the man, by the way, the man is seriously serious about walking with God, even though he may not have a lot. As parents, we need to be spiritually minded enough. No, the happiness of our daughters in this life is not dependent on how many million of dollars a man can earn. Of how much the men love God. Because if men love God, you'll love our daughter. We must be very clear. If you look at their bank account, you're thinking wrongly. I'm not saying this, but and if the person is really spiritually minded, he'll be a hard worker. Okay? Now, that's why I say you need to ask them about you need to assess how spiritually minded that person is. In other words, do they pray much? Are they faithful? Are they serving? Are they humble? Before you, are they willing to those spiritual things? So it means as fathers, we must be spiritually minded. We must be spiritually minded to be able to detect whether this man is spiritually minded. Now, many of our young people are not ready for marriage, not even ready to be in a relationship because they can't even lead their own Christian life. We're not ready. Does that help you answer the question that we have to see how spiritually minded that person is. So the more you get to know the person, the more you know more about the person. That's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong in kind of, you want to be an accountant? Oh, you want to be a social worker? Oh, you. There's some people who believe a certain occupation don't pay very well, and so once we go down that track as fathers, we go down the wrong track. Yeah. I'm not saying it's wrong to actually ask. It's okay to ask. Any question you ask is okay. Right? But what are we using as the gauge that at the end of the day we will give our daughter to this man? I can tell you, I would rather give my daughter to a spiritually minded man who works hard but doesn't earn a lot than to a millionaire who don't care about things of God, who comes to church, who dress nicely and give. My daughter will have more problems with that kind of man than with a man who loves Jesus Christ with all his heart. So what if he just eat porridge? It's okay. Whereby having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know, sometimes as parents, we reflect our financial insecurity and we want our children to have more because we didn't have much. Okay, I don't think that's the way. The way we need to say, how would the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ will never give his bride away to worldliness, will never give his to the things of this world that will take away, but he will give it to a man who will help it to grow spiritually. I can tell you that many, if I give my daughter to someone like that and I've trained her to be contented and her husband lives for the Lord, is contented, she works hard. And the key is whether he's a hard worker. He's willing to work hard, he's willing but he's willing to always put God first. Does that make sense? So our measurement and our gauging must be always spiritually minded and so on. What if the wife, if the wife is insecure, then you need to ask a few questions. Why is the wife insecure? And sometimes, can I say this? Right, this one is something I've learned as well spiritually. The wife doesn't care about how much money she has. If the wife have to care about how much money she has, it means as husbands, we have never given her the security that God intended her to have when we married her. And our baseline is wrong. We have never put God first. We have never lived for God. And so our wives, this is something that God has to teach us personally, because I have learned in my own marriage that it's not about the money. It's not about how much I have. But wives have to hold on to something when you see that the person I marry is not walking with God. The person I marry is not giving me the security that I... Ladies have needs. And God put the two together to meet one another's needs. And so if someone in the family having to find to meet their needs outside of the family, it means they're not getting their needs met in the family with the man that God has put together with him. This is my personal principle for myself. When my wife is insecure, it's my fault. And if she has to choose to do something else away from me, it's my fault. And I do everything I can before God to win her heart back. Come on. Why did you get married with her in the first place? You got married for the wrong reasons. Then you need to repent of that reason and ask God to help her to repent of that reason too. Okay? I hope it's just genuine love for one another. Anything other than that, it's not going to stand. Okay, that's one thing. But Pastor, I was a non-believer before that. Sometimes they do that. Then how are we then right now living for God to help our spouse find her security in Christ as well? As much as we cannot change our wives, you can't change your wife's heart, by the way. Only God can. But we can live all we can and do right before God. The way to change someone else's life is that person must see our life is changed before God. When I was in Nepal, this is a very powerful testimony. I shared you about the Sri Lankan Prime Minister who was like, wow, he was rough. But you know, when he trusted Christ, the wife saw what happened to you, and his life totally changed from a proud, shouting, angry man. He became a humble man. All he does in the church in Nepal is make sure the preachers have this. He makes sure the battery is always charged, and there's about 6 or 7 or 10 of them that every new people from overseas, he will make sure, hey, brother, this is for you, and he'll adjust for them. And he'll sit at the back, okay? And after every message, and sometimes they have messages a few hours, he'll make sure everything is recharged again, the battery charge is run of him. And all he does in the church is humbly making sure God's word. And you know, the first thing he'll talk to you about is his salvation, if you're a new person. And the wife and the son saw the change so well. They said, look, if this is what changed my husband, I want that too. Does that make sense? I say that I know it's hard, but the key to helping our family come back together is when we go back to the Lord. Because He's going to be the one to put things together. If we try to fix our wife, don't try to fix your... I've learned in my own marriage, you can't fix one another. Only God can. But God wants to fix us so that He can fix the people in our family. Does that make sense? In Mark chapter 5, remember the demon-possessed man? He was demon-possessed. He couldn't help himself. But when Jesus changed him, what did Jesus tell him to do? Go back to your family. With that heart of change, can you imagine what the family think? Initially, they may think he's a fraud, you know, but over time, hey, he's a real thing. God has changed him. And I'm saying this because I know we can talk about the contentment and all that, but really, okay, I'm talking strictly in a husband-wife relationship. When our wives or our husbands feel that we are our needs are not, why do men go to prostitutes? Let's be honest. And sometimes it's because the needs are not met in the marriage relationship. God has clear principles for that. Okay? And so if those needs are not met and the husband feels that need lacking, then she will find other ways. Okay? But you see, for the husband to think like that, he's not spiritually minded. That means he's thinking about himself. Does that make sense? He's thinking about his own needs. There's nothing wrong. God actually have that marriage. Just in case people start thinking. God actually gave each other to fulfill those physical, the financial, the social needs. But when one party finds that those needs are not met within there, they will always look outside. Does it make sense? And so to answer your question, Brother Henry, is because many times, that's the first question, have I been meeting the needs of my wife? And that is not pandering to them. It's to give them what Jesus would give the wife. A good testimony, prayer, feeding spiritually, and sometimes you need to lovingly, I'm not scolding, to say, hey, this is what God says. If a person has cancer, you would advise that person to go to the doctor and seek treatment, right? You cannot let the person, but if the person doesn't want, I don't know about you, if anyone in my family has cancer, I would just keep on pushing that person, hey, you need to go and see a doctor, you need to go see a doctor. They may find me a pest after a while. But we know that the doctor can give some medication that can help the person. Does it make sense? So as husbands, we need to take responsibility. Sometimes even to the point of saying, even if I'm prepared to walk alone, but I still love you. There was one man who has the... It's not reflective here. I want to make it clear. It's just an illustration of this pastor who saw a very humble man. But the wife has cancer, and the wife is just the hardest person on earth to live with. Every time come to church, you scold the husband for not doing this and all that. And the husband is just humbly just helping and all that. After a few months, the pastor actually took the man aside. They are a blessing to me, but what's in your mind, you know, on all these things? You know what the husband say? I'm bound by two things before God. My covenant with God and my covenant with my wife. I will love her no matter what. You see, if we are going to depend on what we feel we can do, we're going to fail. But if we say, God, I don't care what happens on this earth, my refuge and my strength and my confidence is obedience to you, is my love for you, and when you fill me with your spirit, I'm able to do everything, that I'm contented. I'm contented with whatever that comes my way. And even if my wife don't love me, I believe she does 100%, but even I've come to that stage where even I know I've done, and you know, for husbands, we really, sometimes we need to reflect. Sometimes it may take years before God has to peel. And that's the thing. God has to break us. The day your wife will change is when God has broken your heart. And when you are willing 100%, not perfect, but as much as you know how, and when you know that something has come into your life and God has changed your mind, I can't tell you how it happens, but it's your relationship with God. You must come to a point that God breaks you. If a relationship is not in the right track, husbands, it is our responsibility for God to seek God's help and will. God, what is happening to my family? Is it me? First question, husbands, is always, is it me? Not your wife, not your children, not your mother-in-law. Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? We cannot push anyway. The buck stops with us, husbands, because God will hold us responsible for our family. Okay? But, Pastor, I did my best and all that. The buck still stops with us. That means we haven't searched ourselves deep enough. I'm saying that from personal experience. We have to dig and humble ourselves and say, whatever she tells me, I'm just going to keep quiet and bring it before the cross. Remember I was saying, whatever happens, just go to everything, put at the cross and say, God, you help me. That will only happen if we have the first belief. What's the first belief? God is the head. If God is the head and something goes wrong, we put something wrong. Because when God builds us up in the right way and we put God first, there will be challenges, but you know, remember I told you about the fact that the family will stand strong, the rains will come, but you still stand strong. But when things start to go all over the place, then we're not building on the foundation. Does that make sense? I'm glad you're asking. I hope to. Husbands, I want to challenge us in our church. We need to be strong, and men need to be strong. We need to be strong, not just about things outside, we need to be strong in our heart before God. That when there's a problem in our families, we will say, Lord, tell me what is. Well, tell me what's the thing I need to do. Or where did I go wrong? And it could be at the end of your analysis, and that could even take years. That can actually take years, but we have to be dedicated to it until God gives us a breakthrough. And men, families sometimes are not strong. It's because we are not strong with God. Every family needs a leader. You need to ask, who is your leader? You may be paying the bills, you may be calling the shots, but you may not be leading the family the way God wants it to. I've seen many families led by the wife. Although the husband will say, I'm the head of the family. No, you're not. I see that a lot in the Philippines. I see a lot in Singapore. It's not a cultural thing. It's a spiritual thing. Does that make sense? Does that help? Okay. The important thing we have to ask is, Lord, I want to kind of say this and then after that people have other thoughts. But the thing is clear. When the Lord Jesus Christ died for the church, he gave everything he could to save that church. And he knew that was what the church needed. The church wanted other things. Remember, the apostles wanted the apostles wanted reputation. They want to be first. They want to be proud. But Jesus says, no, I want you to be a servant. Husbands, we are supposed to be the picture of Christ's servanthood in a family. In other words, no matter how tired you are, no matter how, we need to have the attitude. We need to have the attitude of wanting to do more. Okay? Now, practically in a family, I know, for my own wife, I know she knows when I'm tired, and she will do all she can to make sure I don't feel so tired. Let me rest. I came back yesterday. She didn't disturb me. I said, I'm going to sleep for 1 hour and come back and do my work. I slept from 4 to 8. She let me sleep. Well, she's just patiently doing other things. Why? Husbands, as much as we take that priority and attitude, like, I have to serve my wife. Remember, your wife loves you too. And sometimes when she does certain things, it's not because she wants to take away, hey, I'm supposed to do that, what do you do first? Well, just thank her for it, you know, and hey, thank you for it. You know, the wives feel good when she's appreciated. Okay? Does that help? Okay? So I want to encourage us as men to always put ourselves before God first. I believe that will really strengthen every family if we don't look at the situations, we go to the cross first, we spend time with the Word. Say, Lord, there's something happening in my family. I don't know what. But you say, I'm not going to blame my wife. I'm not going to blame anyone else. But Lord, you put me in charge of family. I need your wisdom. We go back to reading. The best place to read is Proverbs. Lots of wisdom. And Proverbs may highlight certain things in your life. But you know, as you read, always ask God, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. And don't leave God until you found the answer. Because God says, if anyone seek me, Jeremiah 29, 13, you will be found of me. Okay? Seek God. Alright? Okay? And you know what? If that changes in your family, you're going to have strong families. Sometimes the things may be for months and years already built up. I can tell you honestly, in many of our last 15 years as a pastor, the divorce word has come up again and again. You know why I'm going through this? All of us men sitting here need to realize we have a responsibility before God to lead the way God leads, not the way we think we need to lead. And many times as men, sometimes we lead because we ourselves are insecure. You know why? We think that insecurity is in our jobs. It's not. Our security is in Christ. Hello? If we put Christ where he's supposed to be, your house is strong. Amen? Jesus says, if you hear these sayings of mine and obey them, then your house will be strong. And many times we feel insecure and we have to do so much more. It's because we have not put Christ where he should be as the foundation. And when you stand on that, just take example from Christ. He gave his life for. Any questions? I want to challenge us. Christ must be here. Not just here. We can come to church and say, I'm a Christian, you know. I'd like us to change our conversation. You know, sometimes when we talk, we always talk about work and our problems, right? I want to change it. Maybe share a little bit of how you have been putting God first and how he has been helping you overcome some of these challenges. Because he said, if we put him first, he's going to strengthen us. Amen? He will. He promised to be. He's our rock. You know, when I was in Philippines, I just shared this. I just want to finish this quickly. I'll just give you this one. I was sharing with Brother Christian. He was on Shalom. Brother was sharing. You know, the Bible says, God is our rock. God is our rock. You know, if you understand the geography of Israel, God is our rock means, you know, Osama bin Laden, you know him? You know where he hid when the American Marines were trying to get him? He was hiding in the rock in Afghanistan. And when God says, God is a rock, it means even bombs cannot get to you. Well, that really refreshed my heart. If God is my rock, that even God is such a protection. During that time when David was talking about that, there were no nuclear weapons. In other words, when you hide in the rock of God, nothing can get to you. Does that make sense? Nothing. So if you put God first, Satan's going to throw everything at you, you're going to be strong. So it's not your work, it's not your career, it's not your bank account, it's not your job, it is Christ that will be your security. And we need to believe that. Okay? And that's why the more we believe that, the more we'll spend time at the cross, the more we'll spend time in prayer, because that is security. Do you realize that? Recession can come and we can all lose our jobs. But if you go to Nepal, just some places like this, you know, they still trust God and they live on. And their heart is such a sweet spirit because you know why? Our heart is not determined by what happens around. It should be determined by how Christ is working with us and how we're walking with God. You know, a family don't need to have much. A family just need to have Christ. And no matter how, I mean, for us, we're not the pattern of genuine, not total holiness, but you know what, as a family, you know, God has provided our needs. We still live from month to month, but you know, we're happy. God has brought people in to support us as well. Any questions? Okay, hopefully that helps to answer their questions. Brother Henry, does that help? Yep. Remember that sentence very quickly. Okay. I'll just finish. Okay. I just want to highlight some. In what way should this anchor believe that in marriage God makes man and woman one? Okay, there are many other things we can talk about. But I just want to just finish off with this. Marriage is honor and awe, bed and defile, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Men, we need to guard our minds and our hearts. But unfortunately today, it's not just the men that need to guard our minds and hearts, ladies as well, okay? But I just want to talk about, this is the last principle. When you're pure before marriage, if you're pure before marriage, you're not involved in any immorality and all that before marriage, after marriage, you know, you're pure for the rest of your life. Ladies, if you're pure before marriage, you do not lose your virginity after you're married because you're pure before God. Does it make sense? You know, that should be a strong motivation for us to keep our daughters, train them right in Christ. You know? There's always confession and repentance before the Lord. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. And then set it right and just move on, okay? Now, for that, I just want to highlight this, okay? I just want to read this. This is something that has happened many times in Christian. Some Christians contend that if one marries an unbeliever, he can therefore save a soul from hell. If this argument were a valid one, surely an all-wise God would have urged all Christians to marry unbelievers. Isn't this one of the reasons people actually give? No, I can win that person to Christ. Why hasn't he done so? Surely because he never intended marriage to be a method of saving souls. No one can expect the Lord to support him. He adopts such an unscriptural soul-winning scheme. If one partner is not converted prior to marriage, it is unlikely that he or she will do so after. Also, there is a chance that the unbeliever will drag the Christian back into the world. Why risk marital failure, a lack of a Bible-centered environment for one's children, and the loss of one's soul by such a union? An ambassador, not just an ambassador, I hope this for every dad and mom. You will be so clear in your heart to marry a non-believer is sin before God. It is never God's will, and I will not allow my children to do that. And if you do, and our children marry that person, dad and mom, it is our fault. And I don't know about you, the marital failure of my children, I have to leave the ministry too. Look, some people have said, you know, pastor, if their whole life is true, I can't live with that conscience. I can't. To have my children live in such a union that breaks their life. But you know what happens? The grandchildren may not come to Christ. And for us, we have to be very clear. We have to deal with that. We have to be strong. We have to fast and pray if we have to. And let God, maybe you say, God, I've been trying to deal with it, but it doesn't matter. Then that person have to be responsible. Okay? Any questions? As much as there's a lesson, but I believe the Lord wants us to deal with certain things in this Sunday school, and I pray that this will be taken to heart. Remember, in all these things, even the last thing when I mentioned about marriage non-believers, you know, don't even let it start. Because it's our responsibility. The future happiness of our children and the eternal salvation of our grandchildren is at stake. If a person has no concern for that, he's only thinking about himself. He's only thinking about his own happiness. And you know what? If I'm the dad, I'll tell my daughter, I'm sorry, I will never approve of this because you are putting your spiritual life at stake. And you know, a son who has a good relationship with the parents or a daughter and who has a good relationship with God will say, Dad, you're right. You're right. I'm going to pull back and let God take over. And trust the anchor beliefs. God will provide the best person at the right time. You know, why are we rushing into relationships in Singapore? It's all happening. Why are we rushing into relationships? You know why? You know why? Because it reflects that we don't actually trust God as much as we say we do. Yeah, we're Christians, but you know, one of the things I'm learning even with, as I went over, we need to learn to trust God that He knows what's best and live by that principle that will affect every decision we make. Careers, spouse, relationships, in every area. Now, do we believe God can provide our needs? Amen? You know, last year, me and Brother Joshua went to the Berean Bible Baptist Church. It was hot. Right? It was hot. The church was quite big. There was no air conditioning. It was hot, right? This year, they got two things. Number one, they got lift. And the lift is not just for convenience. They have lift because there are a lot of old people, those people in wheelchairs, and it's always there. So they have lift. The lift is only good for maybe 200 kilos, that's all. But you know what? The entire place was air conditioned. And we were so cold. In fact, the pastor last year, I remember saying, Pastor, we're just praying that God will provide us for the lift. First, that's our first project, and then later on we think about aircon. You know, within 1 year, both was provided for. God can provide our needs. But you know what? We have to put God first. We have to put God first. Okay, I think we better stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray that all of us will put Christ first in our marriage, our relationships. And Father, help us to be so close to you. And help us to encourage one another, Lord, to put you first. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.